Ladies and gentlemen, how you feeling? Dante Miles back in the building for episode 9 of the High and Outside podcast. Now, you already know where to follow me at, October Zone Tay on Twitter and Instagram. But all things Barber's Chair, make sure you check us out at Barber's Chair Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We got four tiers, four very affordable tiers. We appreciate the support, but we would appreciate the financial support even more. We're trying to just give more content, get into more sports, you know, start traveling with these teams and just making sure we get our name out there. You know, we need your help with that, and it's greatly appreciated. So, yeah, make sure you check us out at, like I said, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. For all our merch, we got hats, we got sweatshirts, we got T-shirts. We got a lot of good shit for you, man. Make sure you check it out. BCNetShop.com. And for all things Barber's Chair, make sure you check out thebcnet.com. Every podcast we do, every editorial we put up, Bear season is about to start. So we got a lot of great content, a lot of exclusive content. Scott also has a brand new YouTube page. So check out thebcnet.com where you can find the links to that. And we got a lot of good stuff for y'all, man, this season. So just for us here at the High and Outside podcast, you know, a little housekeeping today. Sid and Courtney have prior obligations, so we're going to throw it back to the old days, man. Me and Malik going to run the pick and roll. How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, bro. It's just us in the lineup today, but we could get it done. We'll get Sid and Courtney back next week for that All-Star special.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we're going to push the All-Star special the next week, but it's perfect because now we get an opportunity to give a little State of the Union for the two teams that we both have the privilege of being credentialed with, you know, me down here in Atlanta with the Braves and you with the Texas Rangers. It's been a tough season for both of us so far, but it's still June. It's still the first, you know, just coming off the first week of June. So a lot of time left, a lot of moves to be made. And, you know, these are two teams that really need to make some moves. Now, we're going to give our opinion on if we think that these teams should be buyers or sellers. But you put an article in the group chat today that said that both of these teams have been pinpointed by a lot of people in the MLB to be buyers at the deadline. Two teams that are trying to really improve their rosters and, you know, try to continue competing for a World Series. I'll tell you my opinion about the Braves doing that real quick. But how about you? How you feel about the Rangers?
Man, I definitely don't think that they can be major sellers. It's a lot of big contract guys on the team, a lot of guys. You know, they're not selling off a Josh Jung. They're not selling off an Evan Carter type player. And then you look at we talked about it earlier. He was struggling. Now he's one of the best hitters on the planet. But you start to hear questions about what can Marcus Semien do with the team. Well, he makes over $100 million. He's not easy to move. Adolis Garcia, there's not a lot of value for what he was producing earlier, so he would be tough to move. I think they're going to stick to their guns, and it's going to be mostly the same roster. But you got to just talk about pitching. Bullpen help for when it comes to the Texas Rangers, getting a bona fide closer at the end of the rotation, I think is going to be their key. But you always got to think about those guys on the team who are on the one-year deals, the Tyler Miles of the world, the Sean Armstrong at the bullpen. Could you get a piece for them and replenish the pen? I think I won't go too deep into it, but yeah.
Yeah, bro, definitely. And I agree with that. I'm the same with Atlanta. I know we mentioned how we were going to do it, but we can start with the buy or sell. For me, with the Braves, I think you have the best potential to be buyers because of all of the contract situations you have here in Atlanta. I think with Profar coming back, I know a lot of people say, well, you kind of have to wait, but you really don't because, I mean, breaking news, Profar won't be available for the playoffs if you do make the playoffs. So you would love for him to come back and be a spark in that lineup and help this team. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have somebody to replace him come playoff time. So I think, you know, with their GM coming out and saying that he wants to be aggressive, I think that is the best move for this team. And with the contracts you have, and I understand the way this team is set up, on paper, it looks like a lot of guys are set in stone. You know, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley. Like I said, Profar is coming back. Mike Harrison, center. Ronnie Acuña Jr., obviously in right field. But for me, with the performance that some people have been giving you, I think it's time to start reconsidering some guys being Teflon. Like, I'll get into more about this player later. Like, I understand that Mike Harris is a Gold Glove player. You don't give up on guys. Schnick made a great point about how, you know, he didn't have an opportunity to play in the minors. So these struggles, these ebbs and flows, he's experiencing this in the major leagues. He just, you know, he's a Gold Glover. So he sticks. But for me, depending on the packages you may be offered, you know, when you start talking about who you could potentially move, from an age standpoint, you may be able to get more from him more over anybody else. But I think it's a situation where you do have to start taking a hard look at people. And if they're part of your future, then yes, you lock them in. But just having guys on team-friendly deals, at this point, you're too far removed from the magic of 2021. So it's like, what are you going to do? Bullpen, you know, the bullpen is the pitching staff in general. I'll go there for a second, because they've done their job. Like, they had really done their job for a while. And then when you thought, okay, boom, we're about to get an offensive explosion, we're about to get Ronnie back. So now, and Ronnie's been amazing. Let's be clear about that. You know, we see the numbers. People are asking, should he be an all-star, even though he just came back? That's how good he's been. But as a whole, the team still has not picked it up. And I think it's partially because you had a team that was built around hitting home runs that isn't hitting a lot of home runs. But when you go from the top of the league at historic pace, you know, doing it on a daily basis, and now that's simply not happening, that's a problem that you run into. So, I mean, I think that's been an issue for them. So, even with that said, I agree when Arthur says they should be buyers. I think it's definitely a situation where it's like, nah, bro, we can turn this around, or at least get some pieces in here, so we're to a point where next season, when things, you know, if we miss the playoffs next season, we come out and it's like, okay, we're equipped to do the things that we need to do. And we're not sitting here just trying to bank on the nostalgia from 2021, because I mean, it's over now. It's done. Like, at this point, you know, it's like, you've had your losses, you've taken your L's, you've had players get hurt, but no, if you're serious about this, you need to decide if I can run forward, I can go forward with this group of players, or I need to shuffle this deck a bit. Obviously, this is a team that wouldn't rebuild, but, you know, teams do reshuffle. We've seen it plenty of times. So it may be a situation with them that we may see. And so, you know, speaking of the Braves, like I said, I'll kick it off. You know, what we're going to do, we're going to give y'all the good, the bad, the ugly, and our state of the unions about these teams. One by one, we'll each give our good. I'll start with the Braves. The good, like I said, has obviously been Ronald Acuña Jr. He is back. He's back in the building. He has been as advertised. And so for me, that was what you were hoping to be the spark, but that hasn't happened. So that is unfortunate. But in terms of who he is, you love the fact that he has come back. He's played well. He's looked healthy. He hasn't missed a beat. He's making plays in the outfield. He looks like the MVP. And so that's a good thing. Chris Sale. I know, you know, he started shaky, but Chris Sale has been dominant over his last several starts. When I just mentioned the pitching staff, Schwellenbach, he's giving you back-to-back quality starts. He's pitched extremely well. Grant Holmes, he's been an innings eater, and he's been a guy that's been out there and been able to go into these starts and take the pressure off of your bullpen. So you've gotten some good pitching. It's just that everything hasn't come together. We've talked about going on that run, and we expect the Braves to do that every year, but they haven't had that moment where they've gotten hot. I believe they lost their last four series, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's their last four, but it had gotten to a point where it's like, okay, you won a series, you took care of business, you beat teams you should have beat at home, but then you got to a point where you started to take those L's. So the good has been in flashes and in spurts from a few people here and there. But that's really all of the good that you've really gotten from Atlanta so far this season. What about the Rangers? What's some of the good that you've seen from them?
I just got to say, bro, it's crazy how similar the two teams that we both get to cover are. Like, Rangers, third best pitch in the ERA in the league. You got Jacob DeGrom. I mean, I think they have, two of the top 10 ERA guys, Jacob DeGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, who's on the shelf. He'll be back soon. They've gotten great emergence this season from Jack Leiter. I think he's been the key to that Rangers success. He's adding some depth to the rotation, especially with Cody Bradford, John Gray. They were out with injuries before the season even started. Byron Buxton yesterday, Wednesday, I should say, he went crazy. diving catch to save with two out diving catch with two on to keep the lead at 2-0, 3-0. And then the next inning, he hits a go-ahead bomb. But he even said, man, that Jack Leiter kid's got some electricity. You make good pitches sometimes, and sometimes good pitches get hit out. And that's what Buxton did to Jack. But Jack's been on fire lately. Tyler Mau, a free agent signing 2 years ago, Tommy John surgery. He missed as much time as Jacob deGrom and Kumar Rocker. But he's came back, and he's been I knew the Cincinnati Reds Mau, I knew was solid. But to think that he would be performing like an all-star this season, I can't say that I had expected that. And I can't say I expected Tyler Corbin to even make it this long on the major league roster. He had another solid game earlier today. For the Rangers, though, 16 runs in two out of their three games. Won two straight series on the road for the first time since last July, which is crazy to say. We're 13 months. That's next month. It's just crazy. So I'm going to go with the good for the Texas Rangers. It's been the starting pitching. On the offensive side, I'll say it's been two young players on the team. Wyatt Langford, he's gone through his slumps. Just like Harris, like you said, guys who haven't got to play in the minor leagues, he gets to make hit, but he's stamped. He gets to make his mistakes in the big leagues until he's going 0-for-50 and he's not catching any balls. Josh Smith, one of my favorite players on the team now, scrappy dude, no taller than me, no taller than 5'10". Should have been an all-star last season. Marcus Semien got that for being having the name and, you know, the glove, but Smith was balling when nobody else was balling, and he's continued that this year. I want to say he's hitting, I got him for a slash line of, he has seven RBIs, three bombs. And I'm sorry. I'm reading Evan Carter stats. Evan Carter, another solid guy, 458, 519, 917 OPS. Evan, and as well as Josh Smith, who he has, I want to say, four multi-hit games in a row. So a few hitters, you know, that have shown that they're serviceable. But yeah, I'd go that and the starting pitching for my good out here in Texas.
Yeah, definitely. And I, my apologies. I forgot my boy, Drake Baldwin. That's definitely a good for the Braves. He's, you know, actually pushed the conversation to where you really have to ask. Like when I talked about people who are, you know, could possibly be moved if you do make moves. I know my career is not going nowhere. I just threw that out there because of his struggles. But one guy who, if Drake Baldwin is, you know, solidified and he is the guy that you want to build move forward with, is, and I saw this when I was looking at my bad list, and we'll go into the bad with this, but Sean Murphy has come back. He gave you a little bit when he first got back, but I mean, it's a situation where outside of being Chris Sale's personal catcher, which I believe he still is, I'm perfectly fine if you moved on from him. He is an all-star. You know, I think it's somebody that still has some value. He has 9 home runs, 21 RBIs. You could still, you know, get something for Sean Murphy. That's not a guy I think you move and you get like a mediocre package back. I think because of the talent and what he can do, not only behind the dish, but at the plate especially, I think you can get some prospects from him. But that's a part of my bad. He's, you know, he's fallen off lately, and it's to a point where, like I said, a lot of conversations are starting to be pushed. And another one that people are asking is, you know, why isn't Drake Waldman playing every day at this point? Like, you know, you're sacrificing him for the veteran, which we understand he is a vet, but if you're not performing and you have a guy at the exact same position who can, why not, you know, possibly, I will get into this in a second, but like, you know, let him DH some days, even though with Marcelo Zuna, you can't put him in left field because he's a liability. So, you know, there are some issues there, but I think Sean Murphy is a part of my bad. The pitching injuries have been unfortunate. When you see a guy like AJ Smith-Shawver, who just went had to go undergo Tommy John surgery. He went for Tommy John as opposed to the internal brace that Spencer Strider got. And, you know, he was another guy who, like I said, was helping the Braves stay in it. Like they had been around. Now they're 14 games back. But they, for the month of May, at the beginning of May, they were, you know, hovering around 500. They were dancing, playing around with it. They eventually got over 500, but then they just started to really drop games. And the pitching has been a part of that. And like I said, having him go out with Tommy John, that's definitely been bad for the team. Ronaldo Lopez, he's still not with the team yet. And that's a guy that you need, a guy that was an all-star last year and has definitely helped you control this division, but I mean, you got to think about it. For up until last season, they had won what I think it was 6 consecutive division titles in the LLD. So it was a thing where you were starting to really go on a run like the old Braves did. But this season is not looking like that, and that those pitching injuries have been a part of the bad. And my last bad thing, I have two more, but one of my last bad things is I'm starting to get concerned about Spencer Strider. I think it's a situation where now he's 0-5. He had the great start against Philadelphia, but the velocity's really been down. And, you know, I saw some stats and I had them lined up where they were talking about where, you know, as we all know, we've seen this time and time again where, you know, the difference between the difference between 94-mile-an-hour fastball and a 98-mile-an-hour fastball is extremely different. And so, you know, him not touching 98, hitting triple digits, he's been sitting at about like 94, 95. That's different for Spencer, and that's also a lot more hittable for Major League Baseball players. And his slider, I saw a stat that was saying that let me see if I can find it real quick so I can give this guy his credit. But it was pretty much saying that if your slider is above 85 miles per hour, it's tough for you to have a bad slider. And Spencer Strider, his slider has been sitting at 84 miles an hour. So it was like he's been just down across the board. And so that's one of the major issues. And one of the things I'm really concerned about is because, you know, he opted for the brace as opposed to Tommy John. And so in doing that, you know, a lot of pitchers have said, you know what, you might as well just go ahead and preemptively get Tommy John. But I think this is a guy who's had multiple Tommy John surgeries, so he doesn't want to have another one. So he went for the brace, but I mean, the velocity has not returned. Then that is an issue not only for his fastball, but for his off-speed pitches as well. So I think that's definitely an issue. I can't find the guy's name, but that was the jigsaw what he was getting at.
His services are appreciated.
Yeah, I'll tag you when I post this because I'll find it later. But yeah, the Braves have had the sixth best ERA in baseball despite of all of this, and I think that goes to my number one issue is your offense isn't performing. Michael Harris has been bad. Olsen hasn't been Olsen. Austin Riley hasn't been Austin Riley. Ozuna's playing through a hip tear, but he's been one of the few bright spots. Ozzie Albies, we talked about that, even though he's had the on-base streak. And since Ronnie returned, he's been playing well, but he started out extremely bad. So your offense has been terrible. Your shortstop position, you've gotten good defense, but they've been unable to hit the ball. Like it's to the point where it's like, do you make a call to Toronto about a Bo Bichette? But what are you giving up? So, you know, it's a lot of questions to be had here in Atlanta. And I think that a lot of them may not be answered. And so, like, that's the biggest, that's the bad for me. And so, lastly, because, you know, like I said, we'll probably give you only about 30 minutes this week. We're going to go into the ugly before we go into our series to watch. What is one thing that's going on down in Texas that to you, it doesn't even have to be on-field play or on-field production, but something that you feel is just ugly and something that needs to be handled with that club in order for them to break out of whatever they're going through right now and actually push toward the playoffs?
I think it's just that they haven't found any sort of consistency with the lineup. There hasn't been the set nine, the order. Bochy's trying everything. You've seen Simeon at 2, you've seen him at 1, you've seen him at 9, you've seen him at 4, you've seen Garcia at 8, you see Garcia backing up. They just haven't, that not all links are clicking at the same time. I don't think they spent in the right places this offseason, which ain't something that I think is majorly correctable without going out and getting something at the trade deadline. But you go to get a guy like Jock Peterson who didn't do much and now he's hurt. And with that whole of him in the roster, you've had to try to call up rookies at the same time as you had big league players struggle. These rookies who were hot in the minors, they come up to the big leagues and they can't get everyday playing time that they need. At the same time as you have guys like Adolis Garcia and you have the Marcus Semiens of the world who you're trying to let play through struggles. Well, now Adolis Garcia got through his struggles. And we have Alejandro Azuna. And it's been a lot of guys. It's been Blake Krim. It's been Azuna. It's been Ornelas, who's now out there in Atlanta. Those guys aren't seeing the field anymore. So I feel like, you know, it's just they're getting that big league cup of tea, you know, getting used to the travel and all that. But I don't like how a little bit of the preseason roster construction is kind of affecting the team now. And then I'll say the back half of the bullpen. Robert Garcia, he's gotten the job done a lot this year, but I'm always worried about a left-handed closer. You're not Josh Hader or Billy Wagner. I don't like that. I feel like they need a dominant arm, which we're about to go into our trade pieces. That just to solidify that back half. You don't sign Kirby Yates, you don't sign David Robinson. Those were the two bright spots on a bad, really bad bullpen last season. You got everybody out, you cleaned house, but those two were guys that I think did their job. So back half of the bullpen. And just early season roster constructions are my main worries. And then, like I said, just being able to find consistency. I think the way that the offense has been playing lately, I think Semien's going to lock himself into that cleanup spot. I think Garcia is going to flutter somewhere between 7 and 5 every day for the rest of the season. If they can find that, and then you get the strong 1-2-3 of Smith, Langford, Seager, you can get something rolling with the offense.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's been a few things you could, you know, mark down as ugly here in Atlanta. I think the back of the bullpen has been a major issue. I think they still lead the league in blown saves. At one point they did for by a solid margin. Iglesias has been up and down, bro, giving up home runs. It's something that you really have to concern yourself with, because you got to think about when you blow 10 saves. And at one point, at the beginning of May, again, it was 10 saves. I haven't checked it again because they've been losing so much lately, bro. And I just, everything has been bad. But at one point when you had 10 blown saves before you get into the middle of May, that's an issue, bro. That's an issue because that's a bad trend that you don't want to continue throughout the season. But unfortunately, it has continued. You brought up Craig Kimbrell, my bad. And, you know, he wasn't able to really get it done. You got rid of him. People didn't like the way that was handled. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're banking on Craig to come save the season at this stage in his career, I think you were really cooked in the first place. So that's one of those situations where I'm not really sure what people were expecting from that, but a lot of people were upset when the Braves brought him up for one, pretty much they brought him up for one series. They used it one time in a high leverage situation, didn't like what they saw, and they let him go, you know. But I think that's what you do with players of that age. I think that's not uncommon. Like, it's a thing where it's like, if I can bring you up and we catch a spark, then cool. If not, you out of here. Like, you saw the same thing happen with Rosario. Rosario came back to the team. He did not help the team, so they let him go. You know, he wasn't happy about it, but it was what it was. So I think that's just a similar situation there. And so the back of that bullpen has been ugly. And then really, I think the entire coaching situation, because now you have a lot of people, like you said, calling for Snick's head. You replace your third base coach. You bring back Freddie, who Snick replaced. And so now it's like, well, is he like an assistant manager of sorts and, you know, things like that? Because you saw the video of when AJ, even though I'm not blaming Snick for this, but when AJ is, you know, shaking his arm and feeling some discomfort, Spencer Strider has to be the one to come say something to the coaches, like, hey, go out there and talk to him. I don't think something's right. So I'm not saying, like, again, not blaming Snick for him being the reason he got hurt, but them not seeing that is still a little alarming and something that you don't want to see from your coaching staff. So I think getting that entire situation down, is this Snickers last year? We know he won the World Series. But, I mean, is it? Is it over? Is it time for him to go home and you get a new voice in there to try to lead these guys? But I think that's been ugly just off the strength that no team can survive with that type of, you know, questions lingering about the manager. Like, when you have those consistent questions about the manager, it's always, well, he did this, he did that, we didn't like this move. You know, and I think it's been more of that this year than usual with Snick. He's never been a guy that everybody just loves the moves that he makes. But I think this year in particular, it's been a lot of questions, especially with the pitching staff and things like that in the batting lineup, the batting order. But I think it's a situation where that's been ugly. And if you're the Atlanta Braves, you have to shore up the back of that bullpen, because you still, again, it's a lot of time left. And although you're 13 games out, with the way the wild card is set up, you can still compete for a wild card. So it's like, if you can go on a run and get it going, you can't have the back of the bullpen leaking like that. So I think that's, you know, something that you definitely have to shore up. And again, with the manager, you know, it all starts at the top. It all starts at the top and it has to flow down. And if the manager is not, you know, getting through to your players, it might be time for a new voice. Like, it just may be time. I know typically the World Series championship gives people a window to where they can extend it and they can keep their job and stay there. But no, I think with the Braves, with the history of, even though you only have two World Series in that 20 year span, with the history of winning you have, no, you got to do something. So like, we'll see what happens, but I think you have to do something.
Yeah. And they've been, like you said, they've been way too successful. I know it's only been one championship, but the Braves have been a solid team for years. So, but like you say, 2021, we are far removed from now. We're a little not as far removed from them as 2023. And I think ultimately Bruce Bochy goes when he wants to go. But I feel like the man's doing everything he could out here. And I know it's maybe been a few whispers, not too loud, of, you know, coming for Bochy. But at the end of the day, he don't swing the bat. He doesn't go up there with runners in scoring position and not execute. And when I look at the as a whole, when I look at a majority of the Rangers roster that they have, the players that were underperforming, if they're not going to perform, you're not going to win. If Marcus Semien is going to hit 170, if Evan Carter can't stay on the field, if Josh John can't stay on the field, you're not going to be successful. These guys, ever since then, though, and right now, recently, they've all picked up. You see Eddie doing a little better. Adolis Garcia, I mean, a guy that regretful. I mean, I can't be the only one who thought that World Series. I thought he was going to take off after that World Series. The entire playoff run, everybody knew his name. And I mean, since then, it's been slow bat speed. I want to say it's so long since it's been a long road trip for the guys where I've been out of the loop. But that whole St. Louis series, they've set him on the bench. And even they also set him out, I want to say, game one and two of the Tampa Bay series. Those are two teams that a Tampa Bay team that his best friend plays on, and a St. Louis Cardinal team that cut him twice. I know you're going to want to bust out, but you know he wanted to have a good game versus them. But Bochy, hey, man, you haven't been hitting shit lately. Sit down. Let's remodel your swing. Ever since that then, though, I believe he has it in a – seven straight or seven of eight, driving the ball to the opposite field, which is good for a guy who's swings it as late as him. So hitting coach gone. I don't think that he's going to be the last casualty of that, with as inconsistent as they are. But I think the top of the snake in Arlington has done a good job of keeping everybody steady through Semien's struggles this year, through it all. He's kept it mellow, kept the same message, never got too low on the guys, even on, you know, it's baseball. It's 162 games, and every night it feels like it gets worse, but you got to bounce back the next day, and that's what they've been doing. And I want to also say that, unlike the Braves, the Rangers benefit from a weak division. Nobody in the AL West has 40 wins. Already 15 back, and the Mets, I believe the Mets surpassed Detroit for the best record today. Earlier this Thursday, we're recording this. They have the best record. So a little more leeway for the Rangers to have some struggles. I'm watching the Astros take on the White Sox, who the Rangers will face now. They're up 4-2, but they're only five and a half up. A team that I think is going to be has a chance to be a threat, but they also have a ton of injuries and a ton of decisions to make coming here at the trade deadline. Do they go all the way in one more time, or do they stay as is and try to compete for one?
Yeah, bro. It's interesting how similar both of these teams are, and how, you know, both are under 5 years removed from a World Series. So it's like the success is right there. The talent is there.
But, and it's the same, know, it's the same core of players from both, literally from both 90%. I forget if Strider was there during the World Series years, but
I think honestly, even though you're saying that you all had the same core, I think that's why the Braves may be better off with a retool, because a lot of that World Series run was the magic of Soler, Jock. You know, Freddie's not there anymore. I thought Freddie should have been the World Series MVP, me personally. I understand the moment that Soler created with the home run, but Freddie was unstoppable that whole series. But those players aren't there anymore. So, you know, Ronnie's your best player, but Ronnie was there when you won the World Series. Ozzy's still there, but, you know, these guys weren't there. And so it's for me, I think when we talk about what's still there, I think the Braves are a team that with what you have, you might be better off trying to get a little retool in there. So, but like you said, bro, we're going to see. It's going to be interesting. Like at the start of the show, we said they both do plan to buy at the deadline, but I think we both clearly believe they should be sellers, but We'll see. Let's get into our series to watch for the weekend, bro. Let's get into our series to watch. I'm going to let you go first. I know you got a series down there in Texas, but it is not the Rangers. So talk to me.
Yeah. Father's Day weekend, I'll be relaxing from the ballpark. Go pull up to the ballpark probably for a little bit tomorrow. But besides that, enjoy my time as a fan this weekend. One game series that I'll be tuned into is the Twins versus the Houston Astros. Astros first place in the AOS. Twins second, third in the American League Central. Byron Buxton's playing like an all-star. Like I said, I think he needs to be in that all-star game starting lineup. Balls out when he's performing. Cam Smith's starting to get hot at the plate. And Jose Altuve is also starting to get hot at the plate, looking good. Isaiah Paredes hit himself a home run today. That's a former playoff. What was that, 2 years ago? Them two teams matched up in the playoffs, 2023. So you always wonder, the Twins, the team that's looking to get over the hump. The Astros, a team that I don't remember the last time the Twins won a playoff series. And then Houston trying to get back to that World Series glory that everybody always puts them out on. So I'll be tuned in to Twins and Astros.
I say, I don't think the Twins haven't won a series since they won the World Series damn near. I know it's been a minute. It's been quite the drought, bro. But no, that's gonna be a good series. The series for me that I got is the Atlanta Braves against the Colorado Rockies, bro. And the reason I have that, I know people are gonna hear that and say, "What? Why would you do that?" It's because the Braves are 2-8 in their last 10 games. The Colorado Rockies are 4-6 in their last 10 games. So, I mean, the Rockies are playing better than this team, bro. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I really believe that, yeah, you keep positioning yourself and saying, hey, we're buying. If you can't beat the Colorado Rockies, you definitely should be, if not full out selling, definitely retooling, 100% retooling.
I do got to ask. I know we didn't get to – we mentioned a few names, but you mentioned him earlier. Do you think it's worth selling the system for Bo Bichette?
It depends on what you define as the system. Because, I mean, the Braves farm system, let me see where they rank right now. But I'm pretty sure it's not anything crazy where they would have to give up, you know, some guys that it's like, damn, they're here and they can help tomorrow. Because if that was the case, half of them would be up. Let me see the rankings real quick. But I would 100%, especially a guy like Eli White and Nick Allen and these guys who, you know, good utility players, but I can't have a guy who, you know, you have a good glove, damn near gold glove, but you have a, you know, 600 OPS. Like, no,
I just say that, like, shortstop right now is just so. I go down the list of teams who don't have that power hitting shortstop. Hell, in your division, you got Trey Turner. You get to see Frankie Lindor, CJ Abrams boss out. Xavier Edwards does his thing out in Miami. I think of out here in the West with Seager, Pena is one of the best shortstops this year. Jacob Wilson, JP, who, you know, JP doesn't slug like that, but he's hitting he's hitting a little better. Another guy I think would be interested in Atlanta, but yeah, just maybe not. I mean, obviously he's not what you got to go for Bo Bichette, but
yeah,
an upgrade over Nick Allen, nonetheless. Yeah.
Their farm system ranks 26. So like I said, you ain't got a lot that you gonna have that you can actually give up. But we'll see, bro. But I think this is one of those litmus tests in a bad way, because if you can't beat the Colorado Rockies, then yeah, it's definitely time to consider. I know I'm going, like I said, at the beginning of the show, I said retool late right there. I just said sell. I'm damn near talking myself into selling just off rip. But if you lose this series, it's definitely something you got to consider. But nah, bro, that's all we got for y'all today. Malik, bro, let them know where they can find you at, where they can find your content at, and everything you've been up to lately.
Yeah, been taking a few days off, but been getting back, more content coming soon. Got a Christian Moore interview at Los Angeles Angels, last year's first round draft pick. I'll put out tomorrow. We and him got to talk at last year's All-Star game about actually coming up early. Noah Schumel came up early after being an early round pick for them a few years ago. Christian Moore, he knew he had that opportunity. He worked for it. He earned it. Follow me on Twitter at Team Mill, where you can also subscribe to my YouTube page. I'm linked in that Twitter bio, on TikTok as well. But yeah, check it out. More coming this week. Hopefully Royals in town this weekend, so I'm hoping to get some comments from Bobby Witt, and then a guy who got drafted last season, Jack Catalione. He's been up as of a few weeks ago, so get his first comments on his first few days in the major leagues.
I asked what's up. He should have been a White Sox. I'm still upset about that. But yes, make sure you tap in with my bro. You already know where to find me at October Zone Tay on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. on Twitter and IG. Subscribe to our Patreon. Again, we got four tiers, four very affordable tiers from $5. I think the most expensive one we got is 10. And you even get a discount on some merch if you get the $10 tier. So make sure you check out patreon.com/ Barber's Chair Network. Of course, you can get all of your merch if you already are a subscriber. Perfect. If you're not subscribed, even if you don't want to subscribe and you want to just support that way, check out bcnetshop.com for all of our merch and for everything we got going on. Every podcast, every editorial, every live show, every new thing that we have that we're bringing to you, make sure you check out thebcnet.com, and y'all be easy. We'll see y'all next week.